Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show, and it's Leicester again. Ooh. Yay! joining us, though, to make it a little bit different, we've got Si Hughes and Ross Chandley, who may well have been on the last one, so maybe that's not a difference. But you know what? I haven't seen you for a day, so it's great that you're back. yeah, I mean, let's get stuck straight into it, really. Chris... We've just done the final word show, which was brilliant, and I'm feeling loads better about life in general. I haven't got a lot of that stuff off my chest. Obviously, if you're watching this now and you still feel really angry and you've not watched that show, that is available on YouTube now. If you want to go back and watch it and see if you can just kind of exercise some of the demons ahead of this game. But let's put that to bed for now and let's kind of look forward. Do you feel that there's anyone who put in a sufficient performance against Wednesday that makes any interesting conversations happen about the team this weekend?
I think I would like to see more of Robertson, but I don't think it'll be the case. Mm-hmm. You know, he's played two games back to back. I would like to see him come in at left back, but I can't see that that's going to be the case. To be honest, I think his performance was really good. In the League Cup game, I think, you know, I'd like to see Danny Ward come into the side as well, but I don't think that's going to happen either. Other than that, probably not. No, if I'm perfect.
I think the one that everyone was looking for, Si, was probably Joe Gomez, and I think in a general sense, I thought he handled himself really well against Leicester. But I think he also, at the same time, showed that Liverpool's defensive issues are not going to be miraculously fixed by putting a 19-year-old, 20-year-old lad in at the back. That's not going to be it. Not going to be the answer to all of our problems.
Well, it could be.
Maybe it will be.
I mean, I suppose we're kind of balancing expectation, aren't we? But we need, ultimately, Liverpool needs somebody to come in and play better than the ones that have been playing. So it's not to say that he couldn't come in and play, you know, 15-20 games.
I think the point of driving that, I mean, you could make a case for he's a bit deep. He plays a lot of their players on side for that, and that's a momentary little. That's a bad decision that he's made. And the point I'm kind of driving at is that it's another example of no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. There are no perfect defensive options for us at the moment. He's just another imperfect option that might ultimately work out for us. But again, I don't think, as I say, it's not like a. I didn't see him and go, perfect, Joe Gomez, there's the answer to all the problems. Nailed on 100%.
No, I think he probably will start against Leicester, though, at right back.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Because he's not going to be able to play in Moscow, is he? So he's tended to mix it up a little bit, hasn't he, between him and Trent. So yeah. I'd expect Trent to start in Moscow and Joe to start right back.
That's really
admittedly.
Yeah, forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
Forgotten all about that.
Yeah. That's why he's the journalist.
Yeah, sure.
We're fucking amateurs, Chris.
I mean, I think in the long term, again, it's we're going back to the same conversation, aren't we, about like kind of short-term experience for long-term benefits. And it, you know, I know how much Jürgen rates him, you know, really, really likes him. I think it surprised a few people that he started games at right back at the start of the season. I don't think people thought that he'd come back in, because obviously last season he played a couple of the FA Cup matches and it's fair to say it didn't go that well. But, you know, he's put faith in him in big games since at the start of the season. So I think that'll continue. You know, Klein's not going to be around for a long time, it seems. So it's a choice of one of those two guys. So
yeah,
going to get have to get used to that. I mean, I would like to see him play a bit more in the centre. I mean, I suspect that Jürgen, you know, over the course of the next few months in the big games, it'll be a case of Matip and Lovren. I mean, Lovren's getting huge amounts of stick at the moment, isn't he? But I think, you know, Matip, I know he has a good game. Did he get man of the match against Seville? I might be wrong. Sponsors man of the match anyway, because he was speaking to all the media afterwards, so he must have felt quite confident.
Yeah.
But can't criticise him for that, of course. Thanks for speaking. And I think he actually did all right in an attacking sense, Matip. But I just got big question marks over him as well, you know, in the long term. I just think, I don't know whether he's quite physical enough for the Premier League.
Yeah.
You look at him and he is like that.
Yeah, I know. It's.
I think that, you know, you're going to come up against some big lads in the Premier League. And anyway, I haven't really answered the question there. But
I think that.
I forgot what the question
was. You've managed
to
name drop a lot of people you've spoken to.
I think that Gomez
will
feature on Saturday, and I think that he'll he'll feature a lot in the course of the season.
Just on the Lovren stuff, just briefly, because, again, Ross, I'm very, very bored of saying the same things over and over again in this situation. But, you know, I've mentioned Lovren on a few things recently. I talked about him a bit on Social Club on Ball Street this week, and people were saying I defended him a little bit. Not, like, you can't carte blanche defend Dejan Lovren because he's undefendable. You're in a hand to not him by being in Dejan Lovren's corner, effectively. But I think that... Where I think it's symptomatic of where we are at the moment as fans. I think we're all a little bit down in the dumps with things, but and naturally because it's been a couple of weeks since we won a game of football. People do forget about Dejan Lovren, particularly at the moment, that he doesn't make a mistake that costs you a game every single game that he plays for Liverpool. He just doesn't. You know, so it stands to reason that if nothing else...
Does that mean it's coming?
He's due a good game?
No.
The mistake's coming.
No, quite the opposite.
He hasn't had one for a while.
He's been terrible for a few weeks.
But he hasn't cost us a game on a mistake.
He cost us a goal.
When?
Seville.
But in his defence in that, I thought that the Chan earlier on by, you know, essentially deciding not to tackle the player when it was like dead centre of the goal 20 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
That cost Liverpool as well. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, we're going back
here. Just a reminder, there's the final word agenda. Horrendous start, a.k.a. Oh, Dejan, no. What we were talking about.
You know what I've done? I blanked it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the one where he misses
the
ball.
I wonder whether Jürgen does that too sometimes, if I'm honest. Like, it's best not to think about it. There's nothing I can do. Let's just keep going. But the point is, I think we'd all be in agreement. I don't think there's a Liverpool fan who probably wouldn't be in agreement with this, is that we need a better centre-half than Dejan Lovren. But at this point in time, he's probably still the best option we've got alongside Matip, given the circumstances of the right-back not having Nathaniel Clyne, the fact that John Flanagan's clearly just not at that level to come in and challenge for the first-team place to cover the right-back situation. And then, Ross, like I said... Dejan Lovren I think he owes us a good performance, and it is the thing I'm driving at. It's not outside the realms of possibility that Dejan Lovren can have a good game, because he does have good games for Liverpool. He had a lot of good games for Liverpool.
No, he does. You expect it from him, but at the same time, you expect him to mess up as well. I personally would start Joe Gomez, just in the sense of I listened to your podcast like this morning, and the fact that he's older. And he's not learning from these mistakes. He's doing the same thing over and over again. And he's got to the point where Joe Gomez is a lot younger. He's inexperienced. But then will he learn from making mistakes? And then, like you said, the benefit in the long run will benefit us.
Yeah.
But just the whole centre-back thing is a bit of a joke. You know, it's like deciding which one of your parents you'd rather shag. You know, neither. But you've got to pick one of them, haven't you?
No, you don't.
Centre-back to me.
In this analogy, yes, you but do
yeah,
have to.
That's what I meant, yeah.
That went well, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, I dad. You've got to pick one of centre-backs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, to the point I will want.
Well, there is no winning in this situation.
That's what I meant.
I think that Lovren's biggest problem is, you know, availability. You know, because he tends to make these mistakes after he's maybe missed a game or gone off on a stretcher, like he seems to sometimes.
Or he misses the game after, so he can't rectify it.
So, you know, every player is about consistently being available, and he's not available enough. I think his best form has been when he's obviously stayed fit.
Yeah,
I think that's his problem.
Yeah, the Gomez stuff is interesting because of potential, because you play Joe Gomez at centre half. I agree. I think it would be
Given how much we ask of the fullbacks, two centre backs probably out of position if you're playing Joe Gomez at centre half because you're moving Matip. So sorry, you're playing Matip out of position play with Joe Gomez.
Maybe.
Or you're playing a really inexperienced centre back left side, which I've never seen him do before.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a good idea either. To be honest with you, as much as I'd like to see them form a partnership, you know, I think Joe Gomez, if you're going to bring Matip's not the left sided centre half, and Joe Gomez doesn't look like a left sided centre half. So he's your left sided centre half.
Yeah, but again, Joe Gomez hasn't played enough games centre half in general. That I think it's a bigger deal whether you play them left side or right side in potential. I think I have a feeling we saw them there briefly in pre season either way.
Yeah, we saw him play right centre half at Leeds last year, didn't we? We saw him play right centre half last week.
But anyway, the point I'm driving at is more this in terms of this notion that we'll rotate because of the Trent will come in and because of fitness and blah blah blah. But is that I think theoretically you could do Gomez centre-half this game and right-back in the week if you wanted to. I mean, so you couldn't do right... I don't think him playing centre-half is as much of an exertion, I guess, because he's played... You could play him in multiple games, I think, back-to-back and switch him a bit between positions if needs be. Again, I probably agree with science. I don't know. I just wonder whether Jurgen Klopp, given how annoyed he was with stuff, whether he might do something a bit drastic for this game. He might, a head or two might roll in the defensive sense. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what's left to make those decisions.
Really, no.
It's a tricky one. I think it's fair to say though, Chris, contextually speaking, in the run of a Premier League, you could draw away at Leicester and it's not a bad result, but in the context of the run of form of Liverpool at the moment, I think as psychologically more than necessarily the points on the board at this point of the season, we could just do with getting a win here.
The lads on the pitch need a win. I need a fucking win. We need something before we go to Moscow. You know, we've got three away games upcoming now and then we've got Man United at home. These are, you know, away games you can draw and lose in them all the time. Do you know what I mean? We could be well off the pace in the Premier League if we were to lose the next two away games. You know, you've got the Rafa thing coming up as well in the Premier League. Then you've got Manchester United at home. This is a big part of our season.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, completely agree. And as I say, so I think that's it. I think we all just need a win, don't we, at this point? You know, just as fans, just to be able to... Because the problem is we did a big bit on this in the final weekend about how psychologically scarred I think Liverpool fans are, and I think when you get a little bit of a rough run of form, the temptation is to fall towards fatalism, and it's hard to say, even though it's perfectly logical to expect Liverpool to just get a win and everything will be fine, because we've been by and large really good under this manager, really good with our brand of football that we play, really good when we've got our first team out on the pitch. There's every expectation that it should be fine, but again, you can't help but have those fears and doubts creep in, and you start to think, what if, exactly what Chris is saying there, well, God, you drop points at Leicester, you could easily lose to away in Moscow, you could easily, Rafa could engineer something against you, and then fucking hell, it's Man United. Mm. It's very easy to fall down the rabbit hole of fatalist thinking.
As well as the record at Leicester, isn't it? I think keeps into people's minds. Yeah. You know, the last, under Klopp, they've had three bad defeats there now, so can't be four, surely. surely. But yeah, I mean, obviously Moscow is a tricky away trip in Moscow, aren't they all in Moscow? But you know, I was speaking to a couple of people who are keen Russian football fanatics.
There's only a couple of them.
Yeah, and that they were saying that Spartak are just all over the place at the moment. Like, it would be surprised if it wasn't a landslide victory for Liverpool, which sounded a bit outrageous. But you know, I don't think they're in a good moment themselves at the moment. You know, they could probably do without playing, you know, this type of game. So, but Leicester, yeah, I just think that Liverpool do need to get a win. It's just, you know, any manager now is only kind of 3-4 bad results away from a crisis, and he's going through that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So this has not been the uplifting thrill ride I was looking for in this, but we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk to our preferred 11s in a moment, but something that we're going to keep banging on until the war is won. We've been nominated for a North West Football Award. You can vote to have us win the favourite, the best fan TV channel. We're bringing to Full Time Devils, boo. Toffee TV, boo. Blue Moon Rising. And, you know, if you like the channel and you want us to win, you want to see us celebrate in front of Sadio Mane, we'll do this. Something, I don't know, we'll do that celebration, whatever that is. I'll do the Bobby Firmino, slightly pull your shorts down, and do that.
I take it it's like a suited and booted thing.
It's probably might be a black tie event.
Oh, cool. I'll do a knee slide. Love doing knee slides.
Make it happen, we'll film it. Make it happen. We'll knee slide in front of Sadio Mane and Trent, who will also hopefully be celebrating awards because you can vote for them to win as well. Do so. Click the link in the video info underneath and I'll go to Twitter. We'll be banging this drum again for a couple of weeks until it is done. Right, gents, we ask you to pick not what we think Jürgen would do, but what you would like to see Jürgen do with the team this weekend. Let's get the whiteboards out and see what you've gone for. Ooh, wow. Okay, Ross.
Yeah.
Mignolet, I think we've all gone for Mignolet to return. Everyone's gone for Trent at right back, apart from Sai, who's made that good point. We'll come to that in a moment. Sai's gone for Gomez at centre half. Chris and I have gone for Lovren back in the side. You've also gone for Milner at left.
No,
back.
Yeah.
This is my plan B of a bit more defensive and a bit more maturity. Having Matip and Milner inside of Gomez will help him in centre half. Having Chan and Genie in front of them centre halves will help us defend a bit more. And then you've got up front, Bobby Coutinho always works, Salah's on fire at the minute, and then playing Ox in that centre midfield role where he's not played before. It's his best.
That is very interesting. In fact, so you've gone for Oxlade-Chamberlain in midfield again this time, Coutinho on the left.
Yeah, well, Van Alden, I think, you know, the debate rages on about his away performances and, you know, let's see how he does anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he can't really play any worse than he did in last week, surely. You know, it's the second time.
Surely.
Surely. So, you know, give him a bit of responsibility and play in the middle where you can't hide. And obviously Coutinho on the left. I mean, there is a bit of a risk with Robertson, Coutinho, Oxlade, you know, three players that haven't played together at all before. But,
yeah,
you know, that maybe that's the revolutionary tactic. That's why I'm not a football manager, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
you've changed the formation.
I've gone 4-2-3-1 as well. And I've, you know, I thought Sturridge played all right against Burnley. Was it Burnley, yeah? It was Burnley, wasn't
it? Burnley, yeah.
That he came in against. And I thought this side could play well as a 4-2-3-1. I think, you know, you get that little bit of extra protection from having Chan next to James Milner. Milner's obviously used to covering that left-back position as well. So when he's found himself out there as Moreno attacks, I think that's perfect for that. Chan, we know, can play a defensive midfielder role already. I like Firmino in the 10. I think, you know, having him and Sturridge and Coutinho and Salah all working together could work really well because you can interchange all of those players. Coutinho and Firmino can take five and switch places, cause the defenders issues that way. Sturridge can quite easily drop in and Firmino go into a nine. So something that I want to see Liverpool move towards until they've proven that they can stop fucking conceding goals.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting shout. I've gone with the standard, most likely, from three, as it were, of Salah, Firmino, Coutinho. I put Milner back in the midfield again because I think Henderson will get rested and Chan's there. And it depends on whether Genie's fit to come back in. But you're right, I think there's still the away question marks. But I still think, I just thought he was the best of the lot of our midfield.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Is this a ploy to just go, these three can attack and score the goals and all of you guys are defending? There's a lot of space in between it. Is that something that you've thought of?
No, it's because I wrote me attack first. And then I wrote me midfield after me defence. So yeah,
I thought you were a genius. By the way, I think that's class.
Yeah, yeah, flat. Yeah, but it converts quite easily to a back seven if needs be, just for an extra insurance policy. I would like to see a reaction to what we've seen, and I agree whether that's two holes in midfielders more specifically. You know, because I don't think it's a massive shift. Because I think we have the ability to do that with any of pretty much any of the midfields we've presented there. Maybe slight. Well, you've gone for a two, so yeah, fair enough. You can ask, you know, Milner to play a bit more advanced and then drop in and out. But I think having as a starting position, even if we just tell Emre Can to do a bit more of a Didier man, just literally sit in front of the back four, don't rotate. Just wait there and just cut stuff out when people are running towards you, because I think too many of the goals we can see the last couple of weeks, there's just been no one in front of the back, no one shielding the back four. It's just people coming in from the flanks and they're off to the side, out the way. It's a tough one.
My problem with, I think in that position, that defensive midfield role, you've got to do everything that you do quickly. You've got to smell the danger and you've got to, when you get the ball, move it quickly, and that's where Chan.
Not really good at that.
It's not really what he does, I think. But you know, in international football it probably work, but in the Premier League, I think sometimes.
The only other debate then we've got, I guess, amongst the selections is around left back. Obviously, Ross has wrongly chosen Milner at left back. we've seen, obviously, I think more than likely Chris Moreno will come back in just because of the fact that Robertson's played the last two. But I think Robertson has done enough there to make me think, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I thought his body position was really well when he was defending. You know,
sorry, I said the last two. Did he even play against Burnley? Did he? Was it Moreno playing against
Burnley? I think he did. Robertson played. But Coutinho forgot and you forgot.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Plavan forgot.
Of course, of course he did. Yeah, the Coutinho blind spot. Yeah, sorry, come here.
Yeah, so I think he's, you know, I think he's a good defender. I think, you know, he's a real prospect for us. And I say, I like this body position. I like the way he utilises it. You know, he might not be the tallest and the strongest defender, but he knows where to position his body. And that's a little bit of experience that he's got. You know, he's played in the Premier League before. He's got a full season. He's not a young guy coming in. And he can whip a ball in as well, you know, and hopefully the lads up front can feed off that. But Alberto Moreno, equally, he's had a good season so far. He's had a great pre-season as well. He's done nothing wrong, and, you know, it's close between the two of them, to be honest with you.
I think inevitably this game's going to boil down to the game plan will remain largely the same. I think we're going to try and do what we do, is that's get goals ahead in the first half an hour, 40 minutes, have a little bit of a rest period, and then when they then look to come out, we look to hit them on the counter. Will it work? Who knows?
Genuinely, we just need that first goal. Because we're built to counter-attack sides. That's what we're that's how this Liverpool
side. That's a concern, isn't it? We don't when we go behind, there's not many occasions. I was trying to think about this last night. The last time Liverpool went behind and then won.
We went behind against Sevilla and went ahead, and then we went behind against Burnley and got back to draw.
I feel like we've done it. We did it a few times last season.
We did it loads last season, I think.
Seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, this is one of those where it'd be nice just to get. Like I say, I think it's one of those. It's confidence, isn't it? And I think this side needs to prove to itself that what we're trying to do works. And it needs to prove to us to some extent a little bit as well. And it's easy to say you need to be two goals up, but. You know, I think it's probably asking a lot for us to smash Leicester, but, you know, that doesn't happen. We just don't have a great record of putting teams to the sword who finish in the, you know, the bottom half or just above the middle of the table as well. So it's more about getting an effective result, I think, at this point, and that's gonna take grit. It's gonna take determination. It's gonna take players just being switched on for 90 minutes, particularly the guys in the back five or six if you count the goalkeeper as well. And if we do that, we'll be fine. And if we don't, then it's very possible we'll be having very similar conversations once again, but just slightly angrier. Ross?
I was going to say, one thing that is interesting is only one of us that's picked Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
So, need him for Sparta.
Sympathiser, apologist.
No, I'd have no problem with Milner with Henderson starting this game, if I'm perfectly honest. It just felt a bit, because he got the full 90 and because Genie didn't and Chan didn't and Milner didn't, I could see him.
I was nailed on that Milner was start as the captain in the League Cup, and as soon as he never thought, well, he's back in the side.
It's interesting. What we'll have to.
I just think when you have as poor a game as you do, you know, as you did, like, you know, against Leicester. You know, you've got to give him the opportunity to put it right, particularly if the captain.
I think Henderson, he does that poor man's Danny Drinkwater thing, doesn't he? When you've got someone pacey to it up front, he's very good at just playing that quick ball over the top. Mm-hmm. He's kind of set up for that, and it might with those guys in the team, with Salah in the team certainly, and it might make a little bit more sense for him, because you're right, Emre Can is a bit more deliberate, let's say, when what we mean is slow in making stuff happen, you know, in that kind of position. Nobody interesting, you know, someone needs to step up. You know, I don't think Henderson's nailed down his place in that team. I think Emre Can had been our best midfielder up until a week or so ago, albeit not playing in that role. Who knows? We don't know. You don't know. Hopefully the manager and the players know, and they'll be able to prove it to us at the weekend. A little mention then, obviously we said we did the final word. If you want to get an idea of what we do on the redmentv.com, that final word show happens after every single game. There's one available for free view on the YouTube channel now. So if you want to go back to last week's Leicester game, hey, you listen, you might not. You might want to leave that dead and buried in the past, and that is an absolutely fine way to be. But if you want to get a little bit of a glimpse into what we do without having to go over to the website or whatever, you can check that out. But if you do want to go to the website, if you want to support the Redmen TV, then do go to the website, theredmentv.com, sign up, and like I say, it helps make all this a reality. The genuine heroes of the channel are the people who subscribe. So yeah, thanks.
Amen.
But also, as well, worth mentioning, AFC Liverpool shirts available now. We're sponsoring them for the season, and also the fact that Si Hughes has got a book out on the brink. Actually expanding the field away from just Liverpool, taking in football culture as a whole, an absolute belt of an experience.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of Jürgen Klopp if you want to talk about him as well. But yeah, it's not strictly a Liverpool book, but there's plenty about Merseyside football, particularly it's kind of divided into different parts of the Northwest, so it's kind of, I guess, a travelogue through the region, but, you know, not kind of one of those kind of nice travelogues. Oh, it's all lovely. You know, it's a bit more, I would hope, an accurate reflection of the way the game is and the way the game's played, seen through the clubs and the people that exist there at the moment. And so there's loads of different themes running through it. You know, geography, I suppose, how clubs exist within the geography, industry, politics, you know, various other things. I'm finance, of course, never far away from the conversation. Yeah. So, yeah, there's loads in there. And I went to meet Jürgen Klopp at Melwood's, and we spoke about quite a lot. This was, you know, the interview was kind of towards the back end of last season. So, but I've hopefully written in a way so it doesn't date, you know. So there is plenty in there for Liverpool fans. You know, got them talking about all kinds of things. You know, finished on Brexit, which was good. Don't really want to talk about that here, but
politics out of
yeah, keep it out. Yeah, but he was great. You know, I mean, I can understand why people, when they spend time with him, you know, kind of say he's a fascinating character. And going back to what Chris said earlier, you know, he doesn't sugarcoat anything really. But yeah, I mean, he spoke a lot about, like, you can see about his long-termism. You know, he does actually care about the welfare of football. The one thing that I really took from it was, you know, about, he was talking about the youth development at Liverpool and how responsibly he has to be with players, you know, talking about how they have to make early calls on players and be fair to the players. And he said that the Liverpool Academy player of the future must be ideally a Liverpool player, but if not, a Football League player, and can get a career out of professional football. And I just think, you don't get many managers who think along those lines, yeah, really. And I suppose he is, like, kind of protected by the fact he's got a longer term contract. Yeah. But obviously, there's a lot that could go wrong in those 7 years. Yeah. But, you know, that he was keen to stress that point. It wasn't me leading into a question about that. It was just stuff he'd spoken about in an open conversation, really. So yeah, there's plenty of Liverpool in there. So I hope Liverpool supporters will go and still go and buy it, despite it not being absolutely focused about Liverpool.
Yeah, because there are other amazing books that they can read about that, written by yourself. Oh, if they want to get stuck into, yeah. Of course. Yeah. please do go and check out Si's new book. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing. As I say, check out all the extra content. Check out theredmentv.com. Check out AFC Liverpool kits galore. And we'll be back post-match, hopefully, with a fucking win over Leicester at the King Power Stadium. Yeah, go for it.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.